Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. My name is host Mike Jokum. Matt is here with me. Jess is off doing Florida things this evening. So it is just Matt and I, and we are going to dive right into everything from some IndyCar announcements, potential announcements, and everything we missed since, I guess, before the new year, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Matt?
Just about, yeah. It's up to our last episode. I'm totally drawing a blank. I know it was probably mid-December since we've had a news episode, so we'll get kind of rolling on everything. Big thanks to everybody who joined us for Fan Night last week and for everybody who tuned into that. We had a lot of great guests talk about a host of things, from aviation to the fact that IndyCar may be a kind of place for ex-F1 drivers to gather and race and do well. Just a great episode there, and we really appreciate everybody coming on and for those who listened at home. But diving right into the news, the big topic today that came out with an IndyCar press conference with Mark Miles, Jay Fry, Rossi, and Dixon was about just finalizing that TV schedule, coming out with the 8 races that'll be on NBC, the 9 others that'll be on NBC Sports, how IndyCar will be focused on the NBC Gold, and then what we can expect from qualifying, especially with Indianapolis and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the 500. Overall, a lot of good things that came out of that. The races that will end up on NBC were pretty predictable. The way I looked at it, it was the Indy 500, the Grand Prix, the both races in Detroit, which is a good momentum swing after the Indy 500 to get the audience that may be tuning in after the 500, and then the finale in Laguna Seca. We're kind of the 5 that would, in my opinion, we're going to be locked no matter what. It was just kind of figuring out what the other 3 would be. And so the other 3 were Road America, Portland, and Mid Ohio, which were 3 of the really good races last year. So Mike, do you see any faults with NBC picking those 8 races?
I have one interesting note, but I'll start with your question. The only thing I would have thought was, you know, to get the, you know, first race of the year on, you know, standard NBC. But then again, the first race of the year has been on ABC for the last handful of years. So even NBCSN is quite a step up in terms of coverage. So, you know, other than that, I can't really argue it. I thought we would see maybe Gateway on NBC as kind of a night oval to, you know, show the fans, you know, one of the Saturday night ovals that we have going on. But I mean, like you said, the races that are on, you know, NBC primetime outside of the, you know, the 5 that I would call, you know, were no brainers, were all fantastic races last year. So they definitely didn't pick wrong in that aspect. But thanks to our pals at open-wheels.com, I don't know if it was Tanner who tweeted it or whoever, but they mentioned the Portland race, which is on NBC. Interestingly enough, the NASCAR race, which follows it later that evening, is only on NBCSN. So a little IndyCar favoritism there. Somebody literally tweeted that at the, probably as I was hitting the record button tonight. So pretty cool there. Might not mean all that much, but you know, us IndyCar fans have to take you know, any sort of positive news that we can. But I guess the other big thing that came out today, which kind of slid under the radar, I don't know if Mark Miles did it intentionally, but he talked about, you know, the strong potential for something in Australia in February of 2020. And, you know, he talked about, Mark Miles doesn't talk about things unless he's pretty confident about them. Otherwise you get the standard, you know, answer without answering type of response that,
the,
you know,
politically correct answer.
Right. Like when we heard about, you know, will the race be broadcast locally? And he gave the politically correct answer to that one. So we will see. The only thing I'm concerned about really out of today's is NBC Gold, how Mark Miles phrased it as the hardcore fans will really love it, which makes me a little bit worried about what it might cost. Although I'm sure, you know, NBC Gold or NBC and IndyCar will keep it reasonable because, you know, this is a great way to bring in new fans.
For sure. For sure. A lot of positive vibes there. The only other thing I could touch on was the fact that plenty of optimism around IndyCar returning to Surfers Paradise, which was briefly touched on today, and the possibility that it could potentially happen, hopefully next year, 2020. Unknown if that'll be early or late. We know we've been talking maybe in March or February. I think today they said February. It was more likely.
Correct.
Fingers crossed. That'd be really cool. But we can segue into the next part of kind of the snowballing discussion of the title sponsor. And so it was reported today by Robin Miller that the title sponsor would be announced Tuesday, January 15th, which would be next week. A lot of rumors have been coming out the last couple weeks about who that might be. The big one gaining a lot of traction would be NTNT Data, or at least the parent company who owns NTNT Data. And it would be something called and we're just speculating at this point, but the NTNT IndyCar Series. Which kind of has a little funny ring to it when you first say it, but, you know, it'll grow on you. I never liked the Infinity Pro Series, and then when it turned to Indy Lights, I didn't like it either. But, you know, it'll grow on you, so just give it a chance. It's no different than when PPG became the PPG IndyCar Series. People are probably like, huh? That sounds dumb. But that seems to be the one gaining a lot of momentum. I think our buddy Adam Stern has said that he heard it was going to be a company in Asia, which would be fitting the scope of NTNT. And then when they had that commercial in the NFL playoff game during the Bears and the – God, who we lose to?
Didn't we make a bet on this game?
Oh, that's right. It is my pleasure to announce that I, Matt Hickey, have a deep admiration for the Philadelphia Eagles as an organization. I think they do a lot of things right. I think their owner is fantastic. And then winning the Super Bowl last year with my guy, Nick Foles, was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. And I got to hand it to the Eagles. They are a first-class organization, and I am not at all just saying this because I lost a bet. I think they're going to have a great future and a good time in the playoffs, and I think that is enough to suffice our bet, won't you say?
Yeah, I think it is, and okay. Funny enough, I don't know if you got to listen, but Scott Dixon took a stab at Cody Parkey today.
Wow.
Which was towards the tail end of the press conference, but it was a handful of people commented on it in the Facebook chat. But
did he make a double doink reference or something?
No. He actually said he just said, "Oh, I feel really bad for the kicker." That was his first comment. Before he even talked about the commercial. But, you know, speaking of NTT, after doing research on them the other day when the rumor started coming out, I didn't realize, you know, NTT, you know, the parent company is the fourth largest telecom company in the entire world in terms of revenue, which is pretty impressive. And, you know, it goes to show they've got more money than just, you know, what we see on the side of, that second Ganassi car. And somebody questioned, you know, well, will this mean that NTT Data won't be on, I guess, Felix Rosenquist's car, which I don't think will be the case, because similar to Verizon, where Penske Verizon was a slightly different revenue stream versus the Verizon that sponsored the series, from what I was told. So, you know, this will be NTT, the parent company in Japan, sponsoring the series, while, you know, they're subdivision in NTT Data or First Data or, you know, one of the other probably 40 companies they have under them, that now can sponsor, you know, the second Ganassi car.
Yeah. And I guess to touch on my point before I went on some stupid rant about the stupid Eagles, the commercial, it was very well noticed that NTNT had front and center space five different times in 15 seconds. They would flash Dixon's visor with it, and then they would show a video clip, and then they flash right back to Dixon's visor, and a lot of people noticed. So I think that was a subtle hint at what we're going to see come here in a couple of days, but I guess we'll we'll wait to see on that. Mike, you want to jump into Jay Fry's promotion?
Yeah, first off, congrats to our friend Jay Fry. Actually, in the press conference today, I'll throw it up on social media tonight. Maybe I'll make it our Instagram post for the week. I found it on Reddit today from the original Jay Fry promotion article. Somebody actually commented in Jay Fry we trust. So thank you to, I'm going to pull up his username here because I don't obviously know what this person's real name is. But it was Cougar Indy 25 on Reddit. So thank you, Cougar Indy. Interesting screen name there, but I guess you're a listener. So that's pretty cool. You find a random listener like that on, you know, scrolling through IndyCar Reddit today. But yeah, so Jay Fry got promoted to president of IndyCar. I think that's, you know, the perfect move. In addition to, you know, still handling the competition side of things, Jay is going to be taking on marketing. He's going to be taking on communications. And I think, you know, Jay Fry really has his ear to the ground in terms of listening to the drivers, listening to, you know, what others are saying, and, you know, having him in charge of, you know, not only communications, but, you know, the entire series can only be a good thing because, you know, of what he's done, you know, so far to date. So yes, in Jay Fry we trust. And that also bumped up Kurt Cavan to vice president of marketing. I had to find my note here. So congrats to Kurt on continuing his upward trajectory in IndyCar. And there was one other guy, Mark. Here we go. Mark Sibla, who I met last year when I was out in Indy, got promoted to chief of staff for all IndyCar departments. So just some minor people, I shouldn't say minor people, some other people that, you know, we don't really hear about, but are, you know, integral to the IndyCar series getting promoted. So congrats to all of those guys, but especially, you know, in Jay Fry we trust. You know, great things are coming, and should be really good for the series. I think, you know, that's, you know, any talk of, you know, there was some talk early this offseason of Jay Fry going back to NASCAR. I cringe just thinking about it. I think we can cross that off the list now.
Outside of family and very close friends, I'm not sure there's a human in the world I appreciate more than Jay Fry. So I guess we'll kind of just leave it at that and just say, you know, hashtag in Jay Fry we trust, because he is the man, everybody. So we really appreciate the level of respect he gets, you know, with that new title, because obviously it's kind of a showing that he's definitely doing a lot of things right. And, you know, the people above him also appreciate that, along with all the fans. So congrats, Jay, and keep up the great work. Real quick, two items to touch on. First, this third engine manufacturer that we may get in 2021 for that engine spec, but it's going to have to be announced here in the near future. Cosworth is throwing their hat in the ring and saying that they've had several engine manufacturers out there approach them about some sort of cooperative to field that third engine. We've seen Cosworth partner with companies in the past, mainly, I think the one that's most synonymous is Ford Cosworth. They've done a lot of work in the past together. I'm not saying that's going to be the way it is this time, but that's maybe where you're getting the name association from. So fingers crossed, maybe something will happen there. And then right after we recorded our last news episode, which is typical, Dragon Speed, who we've been commenting on for weeks and weeks and weeks, did finally confirm that they would be doing 5 IndyCar races in 2019 with Chevrolet, and they would have Ben Hanley as their driver. Then the hopes of becoming full-time in 2020, another great step forward for IndyCar to get another new team on the grid after a really good offseason last year. Mike, I don't know if you have any thoughts on either of those stories.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I talked about it over text message with the Cosworth thing. It's come up a lot over the last year or two. I think there's more truth to it from what I've heard, just based on, you know, everything in the positive direction that IndyCar and the engine department is going. I think we will see a third engine manufacturer for 2021. And if you would like to listen to our off-the-wall predictions on that last night, Matt and I both guest hosted on a fantastic show called Boost, Booze, and Barbecue. And we only talked about, I guess, Boost. We did not talk about booze and barbecue. But I will put the link in our episode show notes on wherever you listen. But it's Boost Booze Barbecue, BBQ.com. So you can listen to our predictions on that on that one. And in terms of Dragon Speed, I don't know what to think about Ben Hanley yet. I don't know a ton about him, and I'm not looking him up right now. I know he's, you know, in his late 20s or early 30s already. So I guess they're going for the more stable, you know, veteran-ish type approach for their, you know, maiden voyage. And I believe he raced in the mid-2000s, like Formula Atlantics, I believe. So he does have some open wheel experience, but the the prospect of having another full-time team in 2020 is exactly what we all want. And it sounds like they're pretty serious if this has gone from, you know, just kind of barely rumors a couple months ago to, okay, this is really happening. So, you know, good on them. I'm pretty excited by it. And I'm interested in what we see out of Ben Hanley. I really don't know what to expect out of him.
Do you know who they didn't hire for their drive?
Danica Patrick.
How did you know I was going to say that? Are you kidding me? Okay, that was not scripted, I swear. Yes, and when they did come out with the rumor, it was one of those, who? To quote Jess. So,
yes.
But yes, awesome to see it happen. And you know, we'll wish them the best here next year, and we'll kind of touch on that when we do a preview show. Hey, I broke news to Mike. You know, Mike always breaks us news. Hey, Mike, do you want to do a preview show at some point?
Yes, I actually was talking about that with a potential journalist guest last night. So I broke news to you there too.
You can't one up me like
I just want. I just one upped you.
Can't you just let me have my day? Like, come on. All right, moving on. I'll get you back here because we're gonna do Stump the Host, and this if there's 33 right answers, because that's IndyCar's favorite number is 33, and I'll keep track here for you. So we'll see how many you get right. I don't know if. If you don't get at least 15, do you have to say something nice about the Bears or something? Or
no, that's not what we agreed on.
Okay, all right. It's pretty simple. All you got to do is name a driver who has driven for Chip Ganassi on the IndyCar side.
Okay, so Scott Dixon.
Yes.
Ed Jones.
Yes. Sorry if you were clicking in the background, but that's me.
It's fine. Track here. Dario.
Yeah.
Weldon.
Yes.
TK.
Yes. And actually, we should give ourselves like 15 seconds to converse about nothing, to just give our fans at home here, just who are blurting out answers. I know David Lighting probably has like 30 of these by now.
Yeah.
He's a genius. All right, go ahead and continue.
All right, let's see here. Now I'm starting to draw a blank already.
This is counting CART, IndyCar, IRL, all of it.
I'm really starting to draw a blank. So I covered the recent ones. We're not counting Rosenquist, I guess, because he technically hasn't driven anything.
That is correct. He does not count.
Okay.
Damn.
Scott Dixon. God. I'm kind of drawing a blank. Are we counting just IndyCar? Can I do like, you know, Bourdais doing sports cars?
No, just IndyCar.
Oh, I thought I had you on that one.
Who's Jess's favorite driver ever?
Danica Patrick?
No.
Actual favorite driver. Kenny Brack.
Yes.
Kenny Brack. Zanardi and Montoya were the target.
You just needed to get your brain going a little bit.
Yeah. Thank you. Schechter?
Yes.
All right, let's see here. Brian Herta did like a year or two.
Yes. Who is Jess's other actual favorite driver?
Other actual favorite driver, Jeff Ward?
Well, that's a correct answer. I don't know if that's her I don't know if that's her actual favorite driver.
Graham Rahal.
Graham Rahal's right. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Tony Stewart? Really?
Yeah. He raced one race at the 2001 Indianapolis 500.
Okay. Some more recent ones that I'm jogging to memory here. Chilton.
Yes.
Crazy Hair Saavedra.
Yes.
Our boy Sage Karam.
Yes.
Your favorite driver, Charlie Kimball.
Yeah, that is correct. That's a correct answer. I don't know about your statement.
Briscoe.
Yes. See, you're doing good.
Yeah, it just, you know, it's been a long day.
Some of these you're just not going to get. I just guarantee it.
Yep, right. Graham Rahal, did I say him?
You said him.
Okay. Am I missing anything that's obvious?
The 96 kart champion. He was an artist teammate.
Vassar?
Yes.
Okay.
The only other glaring one would be, well, who was his first driver? Do you remember that?
His first driver. So that was the late 80s, early 90s.
91.
I have no idea.
92.
I was only four.
Who pisses off Scott Goodyear more than anybody?
Oh, Eddie Cheever.
Yeah. And the last glaring one, which you should get, was who did Nigel Mansell replace? And thus, when he came back, started with Ganassi.
Oh, Michael Andretti.
Yes. So the others that are kind of out of left field, so you pretty much got all the main ones, were Alex Tagliani did fill in one race for Dario.
Oh, yeah.
Ari Leyendyke did fill in one race for Alex Zanardi.
Did he really?
Yep. Bruno, it was the 97 Fontana race, I believe, where Leyendyke came in. Bruno Junqueira was full-time in 2001, 2002.
Okay.
Darren Manning raced in 04, 05, I believe. Didier Tays apparently raced in 92. That one kind of threw me for a loop. Giorgio Pontano was a sub for Kimball in 2012 and did race a little bit in 2005. Same with Jacques Lazier. I mean, some of these are pretty bad. Like, they're, if you want to see the lowest point of Ganassi, go look up the 2005 IRL season. That's when they were at their worst. Big Mo, Mauricio Gugelman raced in 95. Mimo Gidley in 01. Mike Groth.
Christ.
Yeah. The heir apparent to Juan Pablo Montoya was none other than Nicholas Minashian.
Oh, right.
Totally. He didn't last too long, though. And finally, the only one that you didn't get was Robbie Gordon out of everybody else.
That's fair.
Another one of those that's out of left field. But overall, you got
Did I hit my 15?
11, 12, you 13. So you got 20. So that's actually.
All right. You know, I don't have to say anything about the Bears.
Can you just insult Cody Parkey real quick?
You know, I'll give him a break. It did go off the Eagles defensive lineman's fingers. See,
that's the other part is when he just gets this slew of hate and everybody's bashing him on social media. And then like 30 minutes later, we all discovered that it was tipped. Yeah. And so it's like, I still don't like the guy because he sucked all year. But I did feel bad for him because I think he got an unnecessarily bad rap.
He missed as many kicks this year as our Patreon subscriber, Stephen King, missed predictions.
Ooh, that is cold.
That was a great first Patreon shout out. I think it might have been my best one, more than my making fun of the Packers ones. But thank you, Stephen King and Jason Camps and, you know, our buddy George for subscribing. And I'll go through, you know, a handful more here throughout the episode.
I think you're older than the new Packers coach, whatever, for what it's worth.
I think I am too.
Moving on. Speaking of Robbie Gordon, a random Ganassi driver at one point.
Good segue.
Yeah, good segue. He came out to Bruce Martin, was it? Or
I think so.
Somebody, Robbie Gordon talked to somebody at some point, and something made it this way to the internet where he said that he wanted to race in the Indy 500 again someday, or at least he's been devoting deep thoughts to that. Do you think in a 40-car field that Robbie Gordon qualifies for the Indy 500, Mike?
Yes.
All right. We'll leave it at that. Moving on, Ganassi's Xfinity team, which I believe coming into the season, they were going to only have one full-time entry. I don't know if you are more well-versed in that.
Just from some of the you know, motorsports writers I follow, yeah, they were supposed to be just a one car team in 2019.
Well, now they're going to be a zero car team because they do not have the funding anymore after the FBI raided the co-owners of the DC Solar Corporation, really threw all the funding and whatnot into limbo. So as much as we don't like NASCAR, it is pretty unfortunate that that Xfinity team and some of the employees associated with that team will not have a job for the 2019 NASCAR.
Yeah,
Xfinity
that's team. I mean, when they first got raided by the FBI, you're thinking, wow, that's wild. And you know, it's unfortunate for you know, Chip's team, and you know, the Xfinity series is definitely hurting this year. I know Roush Fenway lost the team. You know, the obviously Ganassi lost the team, and those are two pretty big names in motorsports, you know, overall. So definitely, you know, I guess a disappointment for many. And I guess we won't see DC Solar for a race or two in IndyCar like we did this year. And that's a shame, because that was a pretty nice livery. And I have been searching the internet for a diecast of it for months. And obviously nobody made one yet.
Yeah, I mean, one day, yeah. Or someone out there will do a custom one, which there always is something out there usually, which is pretty cool. Another piece of news is that McLaren, and this is kind of surprising, but McLaren will not be testing any sort of IndyCar or their program until the open IndyCar test in April at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You think out of all of the years that you would want to maybe get a leg up on everybody that this would be the year. I don't know about their limitations or if they can or cannot. But, you know, given that this is going to be a pretty competitive field and that six to seven people will be going home, you know, hopefully they can nail that session, and hopefully they don't have any mechanical gremlins, because the track time is going to be super important this year. So do you think this is going to hamper them at all, or am I just being the Debbie Downer?
No, I'm gonna say somewhere in the middle. I don't think you're being a Debbie Downer. You know, track time is so vital. You know, especially, you know, maybe for those who are more on the casual side. You know, you just can't go to a track and test for fun like you used to be able to. It's pretty much mandatory. You have mandatory test days, and those are the test days outside of, unless IndyCar schedules something in last minute. So I think the problem is there's not really any, you know, test for them to, you know, get any feel for the oval, because the only preseason testing is at Laguna Seca and then Circuit of the Americas, and then the season starts, and any in-season testing prior to the Indy test, which is at the end of April, there's not any oval tests that I'm aware of. So I think their hands are kind of tied on this one, but yes, they are going to have to maximize their track time, you know, from start to finish in April, and every minute in May that they have, they should be testing. And if they're not, you know, at least now, you know, you can do a simulator or something to get some sort of feel for it, but they should definitely maximize their time come April and May.
Next up on our topic list would be Max Chilton. Apparently a source close to us has come out and said that Max Chilton was not in town for the mandatory IndyCar physical examinations that they do before the season. Potentially might not be anything there, but maybe just something to note. Who knows? It may be nothing, but just something we heard. Paul Tracy keeps teasing us on Instagram with some announcement that may be coming. I personally think that it's got to be some sort of, he's a part owner on an upcoming IndyCar entry, likely with a part-time team like a driver in Reinbold Racing. Is any guesses on what you think the announcement's about?
If you don't mind, I'm going to touch on Max Chilton real quick first.
Yeah.
So while it is, you know, possible that he was excused from this, for the most part, drivers are, you know, this is a mandatory thing, and nobody from who I've talked to has been able to figure out where exactly Max Chilton is right now. So is it concerning? Yeah, for sure, because Carlin Racing hasn't confirmed either of their drivers for 2019, you know, despite what, you know, the rumors have been going around, but nothing official has come out yet. So probably a little concerning. In terms of Paul Tracy, for those who have flooded comments for the last handful of days saying he's going to race in the Indy 500 next year, like Tony Stewart, I don't think he can fit in a current Indy car right now. His head alone is the size of the cockpit. And I don't mean that in a ego way. I mean, his head is literally the size of the cockpit right now. So a part owner is not something I thought of, but probably a reasonable guess. I'll turn it back over to you for anything.
Let's hope. Let's hope. I mean, yeah.
It would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, as far as Paul Tracy goes, I wasn't the biggest fan of him when he was an active driver. And this is purely just him on the track. And then as I've gotten to know him and watch some of his older races of him on the track, I've gotten to appreciate the fact that he was one heck of an entertaining driver. I like the fact that he was super passionate outside the car and would give an interview and just say what was on his mind. You know, there's obviously a political firestorm that's followed him in the recent years, but you take all that away, and I think him being in a car, I would pay money to see that. So that'd be super cool. Your favorite driver, Santi Urrutia, did come out in an article saying that he's tired of trying to ask his family for money for racing and wants to find a sponsor or have a team just hire him without needing the money. Basically saying, touching on the fact that us on the podcast had shared the story where he said that he had an Indy 500 deal last year secured. He touched on that saying he spoke too soon and that he had a contract signed, but then the sponsor backed out. And I'm pretty sure that's word for word what you had predicted, that after the deal was never announced, you pretty much said that that was probably the case, right?
I don't remember saying that, but the fact that for 2 days in a row you're saying I'm correct, I am also going to take this soundbite out and save it for future use. But
this is why we need guests. This is Chess, help me.
I don't have much to comment on this one. I'll let you go on.
Well, that's just it. It's wishing the best. I think he would also be entertaining an IndyCar because he would have that EJ Visso type effect of, you know, pumping in unnecessary drama in a race just because of some bad moves.
He's definitely an aggressive driver.
Yeah.
And he's talented. He's talented no matter how frustrated I was with his announcement probably this time last year. You know, he's a talented kid, and I hope something does work out for him because I would like to see how aggressive he is on the track.
Yeah, there's like good types of aggressive, like Alexander Rossi, and there's bad types of aggressive, like what Santi Urrutia would do. So I guess we'll just leave it at that. This one is just, I'm just going to hit you guys all at once with a bunch of news that we got from our buddy George.
Thanks, George.
Butts Nuts 4, who's on the grounds at Daytona for the Roar before the 24. He just texted Mike all these updates, and I'm just going to quickly share them all. We'll get Mike's thoughts here. But we really appreciate that, George, for hitting us up with this information here. I think the most important news that we got was that Meyer-Shank Racing is hoping that a successful 2019 season will lead them into going full-time in 2020. They will be racing 10 races this year with Jack Harvey. And they hope to add a second car for next year's Indianapolis 500, which is never a bad thing. Sebastian Saavedra, in the completely opposite direction, says that he has an Indy 500 deal and is going to be announcing something within the next 50 days. Not surprising at all that it is from his best friend forever, Gary Peterson of AFS Sprinklers. Somehow, some way, Saavedra has continued to convince Gary Peterson to give him money to go race. So expect the deal to be announced here within the next 50 days or so. Unsurprisingly, no Indy 500 this year for Simona DiSilvestro, as our buddy George told us. Connor Daly expects to be in the Indy 500 plus 500 again. Financial backing is still in the works. Maybe the Air Force is back. Who knows? But he does not want to race with Dale Coyne again. Kyle Kaiser is still angling towards an Indy 500 ride with Yung Ghost, but has nothing officially signed. He will be doing a couple races, allegedly, with the Cadillac DPI program for Yung Ghost. I think the Rolex 24 is one of those. Thankfully, Rene Binder is not going to be anywhere near IndyCar in 2019. Thank God. And finally, Juan Piedrahita, who is a, should we call him a journeyman?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Okay. Juan Piedrahita, the journeyman of the Road to Indy series, all three ladders, is working on a budget for the 2019 Indianapolis 500 and will also be doing two-seater rides that you see on the weekends at IndyCar tracks near you. For a guy who started close to, if not over, 100 Road to Indy races, I would be remorse to say that maybe it's about time, but that's also one of those where if he did try to join the Indy 500 grid, I think he would be one who would be in some serious trouble come bump day. Those are the bits of information we got from George Butts. Thanks again, George. Mike, any thoughts on one or all of those?
Let me see here. You know, none are all too surprising. Happy to see Connors, you know, pretty confident about getting back for the 500. George also said that Kaiser is hoping to be at the Laguna Seca test, which is just a couple weeks away in early February. And then obviously the Laguna Seca race coming up at the end of the season, because that is his home track. So I hope it works out for Kyle. I think it will. No shock on the last two. My concern with Pedro Hita would be he hasn't raced outside of the two-seater in quite some time. So, guys, it's been at least 2 years that he's been doing the two-seater, and maybe more than that. I don't know off the top of my head. So,
2017 Indy Lights.
Okay, was that a full yeah. season?
All right, so it's maybe. I think it was either full or part with Team Pelfrey. I know he actually had a really good race in Gateway of all places, but
okay.
Another kind of average season to go along with all of his other average seasons.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's trying to stay involved and stay in the paddock by doing the two seater. So, you know, I hope something works out for him. He seems like a good kid, but it's been a while since he's run, so I don't think that's really what sponsors like to see. And so I think, you know, Connor's definitely Connor and Meyer Shank are the best news out of that, from George. So again, thank you, George.
Perfect. Shout outs, Patreon. God, I'm trying to think of what it's called. Patreon. Yeah, the lovely people of Patreon. Any more shout outs?
Is this an Airbnb? Hey,
we actually got one of those for Iceland. Yeah, you can't mock me anymore.
I'm proud of you. Thank you. David Lighting, even though the Packers coach is younger than me, or roughly. Matt Gruenholz, thank you for joining us in Fan Night. Same with Michael Goodyear. Stephen King, I thanked. Did I thank Colin Taylor? I can't remember if I did, but if I didn't, thank you, Colin Taylor, again. And obviously, thank you, Mr. Blogger Mike Knapp, for the continued support. And that's it. I think we can go from here right into pitfalls. I'll let you go first.
Was there a Philly.com thing too?
Oh, yes. It's a good thing you're on. If you go to Philly.com or IndyPhilly.com, you can actually listen to the podcast there. It's INDI, not INDY. Right now our show is every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern. And then once the racing season starts, they're actually going to rebroadcast the show again on Sunday mornings on race days, so which is pretty cool. Or I guess, you know, some weeks after race days for the Saturday races. So that is that. And we might have a new partnership / sponsorship to announce in the next couple weeks here. So another thing to drop on Matt and Jeff there when she listens to it. But with that, we can now go into our pitfalls.
Yeah, and I'll try not to judge them for being called Philly.com because that's a little sore right now. but moving on to the pitfalls, mine is kind of quick and easy. And someone's name isn't on this article from motorsport.com, because if I wrote something this bad, I wouldn't put my name on it either. It's counting down the top 20 junior single-seater drivers of 2018. Let's see. Japanese F3, FIA F2, Euro Formula Open Champion, Euro Formula Renault, GP3, GP3, F2, F2, F3. You guys getting a pattern here? I'm 9 drivers in, and it's F2, F3, GP3. Now, if this article was titled Top 20 Junior Drivers in Europe, that would be fine. But to blatantly ignore some of the amazing accomplishments of the Road to Indy drivers is outright infuriating. I'm thinking mainly of our friend Pato O'Ward, our good friend Colton Herta, Kyle Kirkwood. I would put Kyle, you know, no disrespect to some of these guys like Lando and George Norris and Alex Albon, but I would put Kirkwood easily top 5. I would put Pato top 5. I would put Colton maybe in like the 9th or 10th region. I'm not saying they need to be number one on this list, but to not even acknowledge some of the guys in the road to Indy is flat out infuriating. And it is a very poor and typical European centric view of what racing in the world is like. And it was very frustrating to read.
Yeah, I wish I didn't find that article right before I was trying to go to sleep when it came out in December. And the other name I would add to that list is Marinus Fike.
For sure.
Dominated Indy Pro 2000.
They were Pro Mazda still.
Yeah, they were still Pro Mazda then. I'm trying to get in a habit of getting the name correct. I'll leave it at that. It's disappointing. I will transition to my pitfall. It's a two-parter F1 discussion. One is Mercedes boss Toto Wolff outlining what Valtteri Bottas would need to do to be successful in 2019. And to me, that just screams, if he doesn't do exactly this, he's not going to have a contract in 2020, which is really not a good way to start off 2019 if you're Valtteri Bottas, because now you have no confidence and you're obviously going to have a ridiculous amount of team orders to let Lewis Hamilton pass you no matter how good of a race you're having. So does he have any hope of having a Mercedes contract in 2020? It doesn't feel like it right now.
Nope.
And that kind of stinks because, you know, he's followed the rules and said the right things in his 2 years there and has done well. And the things the European writers are saying about him are kind of unnecessarily negative. And then I'm going to end on a slightly less interesting F1 topic. And Carlos Sainz saying he hopes McLaren will remember how to win again because he trusts their team.
Did he seriously say that?
That article came out yesterday morning.
That's genuinely funny.
Yeah, I mean, I just want everybody to laugh at the end of the episode, laugh on the Friday or Monday or whatever day you listen to the show. He really said that. I want to see better results this year. Well, everybody wants to see McLaren do better this year. McLaren's the popular team, whether they've been good or bad. They always have a ton of fans. And
If you find a quote, I'm sure Lando Norris at some point said that they hope they got worse next year. I'm sure.
Right. We just need to dig deep. Well, on that note, I will sign it off here in a minute. I almost forgot Jess wasn't on and I was waiting for her to just come on and sign it off. Thank you again to everybody listening. Next week, we will have a surprise guest for the first 20 minutes or so and some cool things to announce here this month in January before the racing season gets started. So with that, guys, keep your lug nuts tight.
The music for this week's episode was done by Impulse Studios and produced by Podcastly Productions. Web design courtesy of A30.com.